Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of the Amateur Voice Actor Roundtable Podcast. We may be amateur voice actors, but that's not exactly what we're always going to talk about. With me today, I'm Teasing Hero. With me today is
Nitrocosm
and some loser Okelrodex. Hi.
All right. So, how you guys been doing?
Well, I've been doing pretty good. Working on my animation project, doing a little bit of freelancing work, and a couple music projects.
Yeah, the animation project, or at least the portion that you've posted so far on YouTube, looked really good. I liked it.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad you like it.
Mind sharing with us how you interpreted Flash, and what other program did you use again?
I used a mixture of Flash, Adobe After Effects, Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, Soundbooth for the audio, and I used Google SketchUp to do 3D models, and Photoshop to render and integrate the models in the animation.
That's a lot of programming.
Yeah, it all came in a package except for SketchUp. SketchUp, you know, is free for download, but the Adobe Creative Suite is really handy. It's actually helped me out a lot, but, oh, man, it's you don't want to know how much it is.
Yeah. Was that CS5 or no?
Nah, CS4.
Yeah, I don't even have CS3. My Flash is like Flash 8 before I went to the CSs, I guess. What have you been up to, Kelrodex?
Xenogears Dub Season 2 is temporarily on a vacation, so I've been just working behind the scenes on the remaining episodes. Lots of fun. Not really.
Well, I mean, since the last episode recorded in January, you know... You've posted, what, two episodes so far?
No. I want to say three, maybe four.
Oh.
I haven't been keeping track.
Okay. Those were good episodes. I enjoyed them. Not just because I became more prominent in them or anything. How's the tournament stuff going on?
Do you mean the one that's coming soon or the one that's being done now?
A little of both. Which, oh, I still need to work on that banner. Oh my gosh, I just remembered that.
Actually, speaking of the 8th tournament, I haven't even started on it yet because, well, I've been working on Xenogears and finishing up the mini tournament. Actually, Nitro, I've been thinking about copying Starchild and doing my own intro with either Flash or Movie Maker. And right now, I have no idea exactly where to start. And since you've been working on yours, mind sharing a little bit with me and probably everyone else on how to get started?
Sure, no problem. Where to get started is to learn how to animate in Flash, actually learn how to draw in Flash. It's a vector-based program, so the resolution doesn't affect, you know, it doesn't cause pixelation if you enlarge your drawings. It's all vector-based brush strokes. Once you get the hang of drawing in there with the brush tool and the pen tool and all that good stuff, then get a feel for how to work with frames and use onion skin to compare your previous frame and your next frame and draw your in-between frames. And then you can take animations and make them basically as complex or as simple as you want. But you could say, if you're drawing a character running in a scene, first you make it the primary animation of that character running, maybe have 5 or 6 frames of them with their arms and legs moving as they run, and then import that animation into another movie clip within your same Flash project and have them kind of bobbing up and down, and then in the next one actually have them moving across the screen and with the background.
Yeah.
Now, for backgrounds, I would recommend doing backgrounds in Adobe Photoshop with the brush tools, because raster graphics work better for painterly type of stuff, and you can do a lot more, you know, gradients and soft brushes and things and look a lot better in Photoshop, and then import that into your Flash file. Or if you have After Effects, actually composite your Flash animation over your background scrolling in After Effects. You can do it that way. And then after you have your animation kind of composed, either in Flash or After Effects, and you can add like a glow filter to make it look kind of soft, because usually when they do cell animation, there's a little bit of a diffusion filter on the lens or something like that to make it kind of glowy a little bit to make it look soft. And so you're going to want to apply some kind of filter before you import it into your video editing program to put all your clips together. That's basically how it goes.
Okay. I guess in regards to doing frame-by-frame animation, do you basically draw the main portion of the body and all that, and do you do something that's, I believe it's called tracing, where you just basically put a new layer above, trace over what you have, and then you draw, like, let's say the arm moving up one page, then you do it again if you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually, that's the onion skin that I was talking about, where you can kind of see your previous and next frames, and you draw according to what you see in those.
Yeah, like the last three or four frames, depending on how long you want it to be, give you an idea where you're at.
Right, in-betweening is what that's called, your in-between frames. You know, sometimes the software can kind of automate that for you.
Yeah.
And for some simple movements, you can do automated tweens and flash, but generally, you want to hand draw your tweens as much as possible. It's a little more time consuming, but it looks more natural. It looks more like, you know, professional animation.
Yeah, because 9 times out of 10, if you tell Flash to do it, it'll be like, okay, arm over here, arm over here. And you'll see it just do that weird fly apart and then recombine thing.
Yeah, all the brush strokes are just kind of randomly reorganized because it doesn't really have a good way to you can even put reference points in there to help it, but it generally doesn't do anything. The shape tweens are just awful in Flash.
Flash.
And what is the recommended frames per second, aka FPS, if you're doing a Flash animation?
I do anywhere between 12 and 18, but I think about 16 frames a second is pretty good. If you want to do Disney's quality animation, which very few of us can do on our own, I certainly can't. They actually do 24 frames a second, which is the frame rate of film. But
I didn't know that.
There's one thing I was going to add about the, it's 24 frames a second for film, like what you see in the movie theaters generally. I don't know, they may have changed that, but last time I checked, because for television, it's 30 frames a second. It's actually, it's funny, it's not right on the nose 30 frames a second. It's actually 29.97. It's a little bit less than that, and that comes from when they added color to television. I could go into this big technical spiel about it, but that's a little bit beyond the scope of this.
Right.
I wanted to add something about in-betweening, and when you're drawing your animation, you basically start with a stick figure. Mm. You animate your stick figure, just really basic geometry, and then once the animation, once the way that sketch, that really rough sketch, moves, looks right, then you go in there and you start fleshing out your details.
Yeah.
But always start with just a really basic, because otherwise you're going to lose track of how you want the movements to work, and you'll get too caught up in the details. Always work from the most general down to the most specific.
And how long did it take you to finish your little sample that you put on YouTube?
That's kind of hard to say, because that little sample that I made was actually made out of a bunch of clips that I did that were definitely not in that particular order they were used in. I basically just wrote down my list of ideas for animation clips and then started working on them. And I started in late March on these animation clips.
I'm supposed to be the host, but you're asking all the questions, but I understand why you're asking them.
30 different clips, and I think there were like 6 or 7 clips used in that little sample, so 120 hours worth of work in that.
Wow.
I don't know how you people can do this stuff.
A lot of free time.
Yeah, I've also been thinking about changing the music that I originally picked. Kind of got a little feedback from a couple of people saying, well, the intro was really good for the 7th tournament, however, it was a little redundant having to skip to 1 minute and 50 seconds just to actually watch the fight. So I think I'm going to try to find something that's maybe 15, 30 seconds and go from there.
Well, I mean, I could see you doing something like the first episode or something having like a lengthy one and then everything after that being, you know, the 10 or so seconds super short version of it. Because they'll do that on TV shows a lot too.
Oh yeah. I guess we'll have to see what happens in the near future.
Yeah.
So those people are crazy not wanting to watch that animation over and over again. It's really good.
Yeah. Star Child did a good job. One of my friends, I used to show it off to some of my friends. I was like, yeah, one of my friends made this, so, you know, by extension, I'm cool.
That's kind of sad, but go on.
Yeah, that's messed up. Yeah, one of my friends was kind of like, dude, your friend actually made this? I said, yeah, as far as I know, I mean. And he's like, wow, that's crazy. And then, believe it or not, he comes up to me another day. He was like, yeah, this guy had that in his tournament, and he totally ripped him off. I was like, no, it was actually made for that. He was like, really? I said, yeah, it's got the name on there. And he was kind of like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
People don't really read the credits on a video. They're too impressed by the flashiness and all that. Mostly flashiness.
Yeah. Seizure flashes.
But even the credits were fancy.
Yeah, they were like flashing at you.
Probably they were not long enough for people to see because it's kind of going by and you got maybe 3 seconds to read everything before it goes away.
That's true. It does happen pretty fast.
Also, in between the last recorded episode we did and this one, we did our episode on Death Note where we were commenting on it, and then we tried to do another episode similar to that, which was the original episode 4, somewhere in around mid to late February, I think. And what was the show we were originally doing?
Ergo Proxy or something?
Yeah, it was Ergo Proxy, yeah.
The goth anime.
Connection issues occurred, and a lot of stuff happened, and then we've all been busy. I just got out of school for summer, and yeah, that's why there hasn't been another podcast episode.
It's okay, we forgive you.
We've all been up to doing stuff. It's just having the time to sit down and then schedule ourselves into the same point. Although yesterday it was just basically like, yeah, would you guys be willing to do this tomorrow? Okay, cool. And
yeah, there were a couple times where I kind of got interrupted with things going on and I couldn't make it.
Well, yeah, but also you were the one that kind of got me going, okay, yeah, we do need to make another episode if I actually still want to do this. Beyond that, we were also going to talk about, originally wanted to segue from the animation that Nitro had done, is transition from traditional to digital animation that we've seen more recently. It's been going mostly digital since early to mid-2000s, have been going really digital, when a lot of the older ones were, yeah, all cell animation, where, like, say, one of my friends, he bought himself a scene from Tenchi Muyo, which he paid upwards of $200, and he loves that show, so he was like, yeah, this is a great thing because it's something that people have actually seen on TV, and now he owns it, and it's part of history, where you can't do that anymore because all of animation now is done with a tablet and done on a computer, and not there's no cells involved anymore.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when the transition was, but you're probably right, around the early to mid-2000s.
It just...
When computers...
Felt like a good date to say.
Started getting fast enough. That's about the time that
we're professional here. We do our research.
It's about the time when computers started getting fast enough to make the Wacom tablets responsive enough.
Yeah. Those are great tablets, by the way. I got to use one for my computer art class last semester. What do you guys have to say on the whole idea of the transition from traditional animation where they, you know, use the pencil and paper and cells and paint, and it can take up to, you know, days to do one frame of animation, where now it's kind of like, okay, sketch, and we got it good. All right, and sketch, and we got it good. It's much faster than the original variation. It's much easier to look back and go, okay, let's just, you know, clean this up, than the original where it was like, gosh dang it, we already put all this paint on here, what are we going to do?
I'd say for time efficiency, now that you can do all your animation on the computer, that's one of the big pluses. However, I'm still kind of the old pencil and paper, color pencil type of guy who likes to actually do his stuff by hand instead of using this pen that I can put on a tablet that just tracks my motions on Microsoft Paint, unfortunately. So, in my opinion, good for getting things done quicker, but kind of really doesn't show much talent, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, and I would agree. Beyond that, like I said before, I mean, if a person messes up, they can just go, okay, edit, undo. Where with the original kind of stuff, it'd be like, well, I guess I could resketch this. Or if it was already being painted, you have to wonder if you can repaint the cell, if you'd have to re-completely do a new cell, and yeah, it's interesting when you really look at it and how much has changed. I mean, because I mean, you look at, say, like Snow White, which was the first big motion picture using animation, how much they put into a scene, you know, because they were doing all of the backgrounds individually, and each part they wanted to use so they can do this like pan inward scene was like using 15 different layers just hooked together, where now it's just kind of like, okay, we can draw a tree, okay, just copy and paste that tree a bunch of different times and then mess with the shading,
and then you can zoom in and zoom out as you please without having to worry about, oh, this part is slightly off.
Exactly. So I do like a lot of the animation that's come out of, say, Japan, that uses that art style pretty much specifically now. That I think that's about all they use now. I mean, sure, they'll do stuff like a few scenes in Gurren Lagann where it'll look all sketchy, but, you know, it's all done on computer. But the quality just kind of shines through. I mean, the difference in quality is... I still agree that I prefer the pencil and paper technique with paint involved in the cells. What do you think, Nitro?
It's still easy to tell a person's ability, whether they draw on paper or using a stylus tablet, you know, because their line work, regardless, will show through. You will see what their lines look like and how well they draw something, how well the form is. It speeds up production quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it allows more flexibility, where before, when you're doing animation on cells, you've got a limit as to how many cells you can layer before the actual discoloration shows up, because the cells, they're not completely transparent. If you've got a background on the lowest layer, you got like 8 cells piled up, let's say you had 20 or something, eventually it's going to yellow a little bit or whatever the color that comes through is. But with digital, you don't really have that limitation. Plus, if you wanted to integrate some 3D in there, it's a lot easier to put that in there. My one beef with digital animation is that there's much less of a barrier to entry. You basically, the people that would have the means and the ability to do it the traditional way are usually the really good artists. With just them in there, the playing field is a lot smaller, and you just have the more elites. Now, I kind of get the impression that when they cut the budget because they can do it so much cheaper production, they're also hiring in artists that aren't as good. Because I've noticed in modern animation, especially American cartoons, even though it's all done digitally and it looks a lot cleaner, the artists obviously aren't putting the time into it at all. Their line work is overly simplified. It doesn't look sketchy, but it looks like they just rushed through it.
Well, and that seems like to be an art style that you see a lot more often with, say, cartoons you see on Cartoon Network a lot of the times, or like say early Powerpuff Girls, where you have to walk the line of, okay, is this the art style they're going for? Are they just trying to make it simple? What are they doing? You know what I mean? Which may have been a combination of the two.
Usually all comes down to what their budget is for the animation.
Yeah.
It's efficiency. Because you do have to draw a line somewhere. You can't make every frame of an animation look like a Rembrandt. Just not practical.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you gotta make sure everything works right into the frame as well. I mean, you look at a lot of the stuff nowadays, and you don't even have the penciling process. It's just, okay, we can pull the character up what we usually have him look like in, like, say, a prone position, and then we can go from there to specific characters, specific points, you know? It's like you look at old-fashioned stop-motion animation, where they'll be like, okay, this is the character saying a specific syllable, this is a character when he's angry, this is when he's sad, and they would always shoot for those kind of key frames and then go from there. You know what I mean? So I wonder if they do that with a lot of the animation now, because they probably have it saved away in the computer so much that they can just be like, okay, this is the character happy. All right, now let's edit it a little bit for the specific portion of the scene. You know what I mean? I just wonder if it's like that, because I know they do that a lot with computer animation, because you almost always see the character models and they'll be doing that kind of cross position where their arms are way out, so that's how the model is shaped, and then they just kind of put it into the scene and make them look more natural.
The thing you mentioned about the penciling process is sometimes they take that out. You can usually tell when they don't do the penciling process because it just won't be shaped right.
Well, yeah, and you don't have that realistic kind of walking or many different types of motions, where this is just kind of like, okay, let's cue up the character and let's just make his arm move. Okay, that looks good. Let's go. You know, on to the next part.
You mentioned Snow White. You know how fluid the motion is in Snow White. That's actually done at 24 frames per second.
Yeah.
Full motion. But one thing about Snow White is I'm pretty sure they used rotoscoping.
Yeah,
in that.
They did.
I do not consider rotoscoping cheating by any means. It is, for anyone out there that doesn't know, where you take a actual film of a live-action person moving, and you create your penciling stage of the animation by roughly tracing over that.
Yeah.
And then you can go and then fill in your details and stylize your character the way you want it, but you have your basic frame of reference for the animation based off of a live-action character, and you can get some really nice results that way.
It's kind of similar to when you look at mocap animation, when you do the motion capture. It's
Yeah, for 3D.
For 3D. It's like a 3D variation. It's like a 2D version of that, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. It's also pretty good for people who are kind of new into Flash or animation or being lazy, because I might actually kind of try that method out for my intro, because I'm not very good at anatomy. I could draw faces, hairstyles, but I'm not good at body.
I'm the same.
So maybe if I record myself doing a certain type of pose or fighting action, then I could just go from there.
Absolutely. I've done that for several scenes already in this project I'm working on.
Yeah, I did similar things for... I was drawing a picture of Zero from Mega Man X, and one of the things I had an issue was the original picture I had, you didn't see his feet, and I said, okay, well, I want to show this foot, and I want it to be in this position specifically, and I'm like, man, I am really bad at anatomy, and my art teacher said, well, why don't you find a picture of someone's leg, or even better, the picture of a skeleton. So I found in specific positions, you know, and I found a picture of a leg in the exact position I needed. So I traced over the skeleton and then animated around, not animated, but drew the image and fleshed around that skeletal image and made that into the foot. And it came out really well. I had to do the same thing with the hand that he has. And you notice the contrast in the hands, because one is from the original image that I rough sketched and then just kind of colored in, and the other one is based off an actual hand, and the difference is insane. It makes me angry now that I look at it, just because it's not consistent, but it's still there.
Yeah, I grab reference images off of Google all the time, you know, if I need to draw someone's hand. I'm really bad with drawing hands, so I, you know, grab a photo of the hand roughly in the position that I need it. Or there's a website out there called Pose Maniacs. They have 3D models that you can use for reference when you're drawing. And that helps a whole lot. They have human head models and the whole body model, pretty much any pose that you could use.
Well, that'll definitely save me money on buying a wooden mannequin, because I've been looking at those as well. Unfortunately, they're limited in poses.
Yeah, and detail.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love the little wooden mannequin guys. Well, and that's mostly just because I'm an action figure type guy, where I have this toy Gundam that I bought at Anime Expo last year that I put together, and I was real proud of it, and I ended up almost getting rid of all of the little optional bits and pieces for it, and now it's just kind of like, what position do I decide to put him in today? Currently, he looks like he's stepping off of the table doing a march, just because the balance on it's really good.
TZM, you never updated people on YouTube about your progress on the Gundam model, by the way.
You know, I actually filmed like 4 different versions of that. Like, I was originally going to be like, okay, I want to do this every single time I have a day to film on it, and I just didn't get around to doing it. And then I wanted to film different reviews, and I just wasn't happy with the quality of the video. Because if you look at the first video, I was like, man, look at this detail. And you look at the video, and you can't see the detail. It's all blurry. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted to continue on also with the commentary, but I don't know if I'm going to do that, just because it was kind of a tribute to a reviewer on YouTube called Evangelist, and he has that's kind of his trademark, is the subtitles criticize what he's doing. So, I don't know. Maybe if I get another one, I'd be willing to do that. I'd have to track down all of the parts to that Gundam model. If some of them are even in one piece, because I broke apart, and that makes it difficult to put it together now. So, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at going to Anime Expo again this year, so I'm really looking forward to the Gundam booth to see if I can get something else. So, and that I definitely videotape every time. You have my word, Internet! That, and I know Killrod X would kill me if I didn't. One of the things I wanted to bring up, I know everyone's already talked about it and everything. A, Transformers 3 is already being made, which I was okay with Transformers 2. I liked the first one better. The second one just kind of made me feel blah. Because, I mean, with the first, and I'm more or less a Transformers fan. With the first movie, I was pumped after I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Well, of course, I was like, you know, 17, 18. So I was a lot more energetic than I am now. But I was just pumped. I went and saw that movie 5 times in theaters. 5 times. The second one, I came out of there and I was kind of like, well, that was a movie. Glad I went and saw that. I only saw it once in theaters, and I don't think I've even seen it, even though we have it on DVD. So there was a very big difference. But a Transformers 3 is being made with Shia LaBeouf and Michael Bay, but without a specific actress. What's her name?
Megan Fox.
There we go. Are you sure it's Megan Fox? Yeah, my joke kind of fell flat. We are just energetic as heck this evening, aren't we?
I'll tell you what.
Some more than others.
I say a lot. One of my friends did an impersonation of me, and it was just him saying over and over again. I didn't notice I said that much. But yeah, she's not going to be in the movie. We really don't know if it was just kind of she quit, or the company said, we're not going to have you on here, or if she's being replaced by a different actress. I know they've already hired another actress to be in the movie. I just don't know if it's like they're doing the Don Cheadle thing, where it's just kind of, well, let's just throw someone else in there, call him Rhodey, and everyone will be like, hey, it's Rhodey, even though it's a different actor from the first movie. Iron Man reference.
She simply turned back into a pumpkin.
Poor
pumpkin. Yeah, the whole movie, her character is just played by a pumpkin. You see Shia LaBeouf running around with a pumpkin all movie.
There's a really bad caricature of her face on a pumpkin.
Why a pumpkin? And then you got someone glued like those Barney Rubble thumbs on.
Nice.
Because she's known to have those thumbs. But yeah. So, beyond that, do you have anything geek news-wise, guys, you can think of? Possibly?
I'm not that geekified to share.
Well, there's not really a whole lot of geek news I can think of. The new gadgets that have come out are just not interesting to me at all. And I haven't tried any of them out. The iPad, meh. Who cares?
Well, the iPad made me just be like, well, so they took the iPod Touch or iPhone and just kind of made it bigger. That's cool. It didn't do much for me.
Yep.
It could always be used as a throwing device.
I just thought of a great app for the iPad. This is the best application yet. It's basically an app. You download it, and all it does is put an image of a coaster on the middle of the screen, and then you set your pop on it.
I would so buy that.
It's the e-coaster.
It's the e-coaster.
Or i-coaster.
I-coaster, yeah.
I-coaster.
It's the i-coast.
The great space i-coaster.
It's kind of like that great, I think it was Mad TV had a sketch where it was Steve Jobs coming out.
Oh, the MacBook?
And it was the, he had this rack, and he's like, it's the i-rack. And it was supposed to be about the whole iRack problem we had. Years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, why do you keep putting stuff inside the iRack? Oh, it doesn't seem like the iRack is able to take that very much. Maybe you should take everything out. No, there is no exit strategy. And then he's like, and now I'll review our next one, and it was a shoe.
They threw it at someone.
He's like, the iRan. I'm sorry, my little brother popped in the room. He was asking for the DS charger because he plays the Nintendo DS and Pokemans. Which I would play too if I had a game that actually worked.
Since you brought up the Nintendo DS, comparing the Nintendo DSi and the Nintendo DS, do you really think Nintendo should have came out with something that is twice as big? And
especially, I'm cool with it, but they've already announced another version where it's the Nintendo 3DS. Which uses technology to make it look like 3D without you having to wear the glasses, which is cool and all. I just don't want it to be a gimmick where it's kind of like the Wii, where everything is, the game is absolutely normal, and then you have one small mini portion where it's like, okay, now you have to use the nunchuck controller to glide a plane through an area, you know?
Yeah. I just hope it doesn't turn out to be like the Virtual Boy. That was an absolute flop back in the day.
It might.
You know, I actually kind of feel bad when it comes to the Virtual Boy, just because the guy who created it was basically shamed out of Nintendo. This is the dude who created the Game Boy, and they, like, fired him because the Virtual Boy did real bad. I mean, the Game Boy gave Nintendo millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, and this guy was, like, shamed out of there because the Virtual Boy flopped. It's like, oh, that is so sad. Mm-hmm. I felt bad for that guy. Then he died in a car accident, I think. Speaking of the Game Boy, I loved the Game Boy as a child.
Speaking of Debbie Downer.
Oh, poor Debbie. Yes. She's down.
I Downer.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Well, if you give Debbie Downer some power thirst, she'll be an energetically Debbie Downer. It's just a slight adjustment.
Ah! Double fist.
Speaking of which, Nitro, have you seen the latest Power Thirst?
Yes, I have. It's quite hilarious.
I think
yes.
I sent it to him when I saw it on
Facebook.
Will
be my new name.
When you...
Yeah, you gotta watch out for bearerism.
Bearerism.
Yeah.
Baby plus power thirst equals man. Man plus power thirst equals man. But, yeah, power thirst, it's great stuff. And apparently it's actually being sold. I wonder what it actually tastes like.
It's supposed to be a citrusy type of energy drink. You can buy them in a bundle pack on their website.
Huh.
I was just going to say, I do want to try at least once being uncomfortably energetic, because I've come close to that before by drinking like a whole pot of coffee in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I want to be uncomfortably energetic without the...
I want to win at irony.
I want to be the Birdman.
I want to have a baked potato contest.
I want to sing about everything that can be sang about today. I actually wanted to ask what Killroad X uses for the, when he's editing together the stuff for Xenogears Dubbed, just because that's interesting to me, because I'm looking at doing my own dub of Vagrant Story, which I've been batting around the idea for, you know, how long has it been since I've known you, Killroad X? Year and a half. I've been like, yeah, this Vagrant Story game. Should totally do it. Oh, and this Kiva show. Man. Dude, I'll send you a scene. Let's just do some stuff. Yeah, that never got on the internet.
Yeah, that's okay.
Even though you did some great stuff.
Well, what questions do you want to ask me specifically? Because it's just going to be kind of silly if I throw random things in the air, literally.
What software do you use?
Give me a minute here. Audacity for voice recording, for video editing, Camtasia Studios 5 and 6. Sometimes Adobe Premiere Pro for the ending credits. I used Sony Vegas once, but that was kind of a bit of a flop. Just trying to see if I can get better high quality, because that's what people want. But for sound effects, I go to a specific website. Starchild showed me. I think it's called freesound.org.
Oh, basically, yeah.
Yep, you just register an account there, it's free, and they have a nice library of different types of sound effects you can use. Or you could just do a search for specific ones like Gundam sound effects or Dragon Ball Z effects and whatever.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Did you add in the Gundam sound effects for the Gears, or was that in the game?
Actually, all the edited fights are redone with all sound effects that I've handpicked.
Really? Oh.
Yep.
Oh, wait, yeah, I remember you showing me, like, you were like, oh, season 2, I'm going to start doing this, because season 1 didn't have it so much.
I think it would seem a lot better, because when I'm cutting the fights down to, let's say, 1 minute, you have the music playing, and then it jerks around, so it doesn't sound fluent.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
Not to mention the game actually used nothing but FM synthesis for all the sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
And so they really needed to be replaced.
And completely off subject, if you try going through the debug room and you try listening to all the sounds, not all of them are... you can listen to them. Most of them are just loud screeching noises. But, I'd say the edit one fight going back and forth is about maybe 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And that's just for a 90-second fight. If it's longer, it's probably going to take maybe 4 hours.
Yeah, because you have to synchronize every little sound.
Yeah, it's like when I was looking at the fight with, Billy and all them versus Stone, I didn't realize you were going to be cutting in between parts of that fight. Like, I read the lines and recorded those, and then I recorded the fight with Stone, so I was completely off kilter when you listened to it. Mm. I thought, anyways, because, like, Billy's just kind of reacting like, oh, I hope this works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where he, by that point, should be super distraught about
right.
his dad. But I figure that's my fault, not anyone else's.
That's alright.
Actually, just from the way that it reads in the game, Billy kind of comes off that way. Like, he's not super distraught right away about it.
Well, yeah, he does kind of just say, well, that's the way he would have wanted to go, you know. It's the best way to send him off. Speaking of which, I had a lot of fun voicing Bishop Stone.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the last you'll see of him, and is... skinless
mullet
face.
I need some really good mullet rock playing in the background, like some White Snake or some Jackal.
Zombie.
I need some Jackal playing in the background.
Anyways. For the both of you guys, I remember I was going to cut out minor roles because of stress-related issues. I've decided to reopen it again for everybody since... Oh, don't worry, episode 22 has a lot of minor roles.
Like 30-something, right?
Take as many as you want.
How long before? Oh, wait,
39.
Oh, my gosh.
Crap. No, I was trying to
How
do Ellie's dad's voice.
Sigmund, Sigmund.
With his organ cookies.
If you need me to do any more lines for Ellie's dad, well, there might be some trouble because I can't remember how I did his voice.
Well... you kind of covered all the lines for Eric, so...
Sweet.
Yeah. There are still plenty of other minor important characters like Gaspar, Roni Fatima, Renee, those crazy guys who read the Psycho Gears and try to kill Ellie, and one of them I want interpreted as a hick. It's the guy who piles the giant mantis gear.
I live closer to Kentucky than any of you guys, so I should probably get the hick parts.
All right, well, just take a look to see what's available and go for it.
After a public execution, we'll be hailed at the arena.
Indeed.
Indeed. Oh, that sounds great stuff.
All right, so any other questions you'd like to ask?
Yeah, like, how did you go about getting the footage? Because I know it may not exactly work the same as how I'm going to have to do it, but I know you at least got permission.
Well, there are different types of video converters out there, depending on what website you go to. Unfortunately, the gameplay footage that I'm using you cannot get because Crunchyroll was smart, and now they put ads.
You'll
so
download
you
the ad. Yeah,
the
I had that issue when I was trying to download a video from Zinniger's so I can dub to it, and I was like, oh... I can't get this, and I had to ask you to get the specific
scene. Yeah, that's really annoying.
Which I'm sorry for.
Yeah. Also, YouTube does kind of do it as well, except that's for, like, videos that have over 100,000 views or something.
Well, I got a question for you. What do you do for sync reference, timing reference, when you're editing all the audio lines and sound effects in? Do you do that in your video editor so you have something visual to go by, or do you take the time codes and use those as cues and then go into Audacity and do everything by where it is in time code?
No, what I do is I take Camtasia Studios, my main video editing software. I take the video clips that I'm going to use. YouTube's limit is 10 minutes, so I take 10 minutes of that. Mute the sound, and then you would have two audio tracks, maybe three if you use the updated version. And from there, I just take the sound effects I need, and I basically watch the video. It's like, okay, noise is going to hit at this marker, drag the sound effect down, put it there, back the cursor up a little bit, so this way you can find out where it is, play, and then see if it matches up. If it doesn't, stop the video, slide over 1 second, or maybe a millisecond, and rinse and repeat. When when I'm done, I just produce or export the video as a MP3 or a WAV, depending on what type of video editing software you use, and then from there I go into Audacity, import the audio clips, put them together, amplify, so this way they're tolerable for hearing, and save it as a WAV.
One question I had that was less about how do you do it, but more about your preference, I suddenly thought about, was would it make it easier if I sent you my audio clips as individual lines, or do you like it as the long spiel that I always do? Because I didn't even think about that until now.
One of our cast members who unfortunately disappeared on us, by the way, he has another YouTube channel. Anyways, what he did was he did three different outtakes for each of his lines, and he would basically do it individually. So if he did three takes for Let's Do This, he would put it on one file and then send it there. So if you want to do it that way, that's fine.
Well, I mean, it's just up to you, because I know it's you're the one that has to listen to the whole thing and go, okay, I want to use this part, I want to use this part, okay, cutting this part out to use this part, you know.
Well, if you want to, I would probably say definitely break it up, just, it's a little time-consuming for you than it is for me, since you would have to compress it and send it in a giant RAW file. But I would probably say, yeah, definitely do that method.
Okay. I'll look into doing that from now on, then. Just because I know it's not time... It's not hard for me to do it, it's just... I know it's probably difficult for you to do it, to listen through everything. Do you usually record your audio last after you received everyone else's lines? Because I know there's a lot of times where it'll sound like... Like, say, I just kind of record a lot of my stuff blind. Does it help to have everyone else's line so you can be like, okay, I can respond to what, say, the random battle lines, you know, that we always kind of do? Like, okay, I'll just respond to this one, or I'll just respond to this one, or I'll do my own thing. Or do, like, Toku and have that character sing throughout the whole thing. which, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well, to answer your question, I used to just record all my lines before I got everyone else. However, now that we're doing improv battle sequences, I only record the main character's lines last. If it's a minor character that maybe says one thing or has no interaction with anybody else for a while, then I'll do their lines beforehand, i.e. Gazelle Ministry. But, yeah, it's a little bit of both.
Okay. Just because I found it interesting, because there was a lot of times where it almost seemed like, not that I was out of the mix or anything, but like, I would record something and then there would be this whole scene where it was random things you and Toku were saying towards each other back and forth. Now, I didn't know if that was one of those things where, like, have you guys ever, like, recorded anything together in the same room, and does that help any, or no?
Mugen AI Tournament 7's announcers, we actually got together and typed up the scripts and went back and forth. That helps a lot if you're trying to get the right type of actor emotion or method acting or whatever you guys call it. That's definitely a lot helpful, and also having a very stable connection is a plus.
Alright, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I know it could be irritating to be like, okay, what you sent me doesn't work for this specific line, can you re-record this line and have to go back to someone else to re-record stuff, etc., etc. You know what I mean?
Mm. Right. That's where I try to get the idea of, alright, let's bring everyone together and try doing a rehearsal. That kind of went under because nobody really was interested, or it was...
I'd be interested in doing that. You know me. I'd be cool on that.
Oh, I know.
So next time, if you ever want to do that, give me a line, and I'll be ready to do it.
Alright. Well, hopefully we don't have any connection problems along the way, because I know we did in the past.
Yeah. That's always been the issue we've had, is connection problems. Also, have you had any... I'm sorry, I just keep question after question. I'm just curious on things. And now that I have the chance to talk to you, I'm asking things.
That's alright, but I will answer previous question that you mentioned about how things kind of seemed off. Depending on who sends me the lines for ad-libbing, I tend to kind of mix it. So let's say Toku recorded a whole bunch of improv. I'm not going to use all of her recording lines. I'm just going to use bits and pieces. And then I try to find where I could put, let's say, your lines in this part, and then I try to put it together and figure out, okay, should I be saying something here? Should I let them do all the talking? Which has kind of happened recently. I've been lazy.
No, my next question was, it's related, but it's kind of off the same subject. Are you still having any plans? Because I don't know how much I should talk about it, but you still have any plans for commentary?
Well, if season 2 ended here and we did season 3, then I'd be pretty much getting things set up for the next commentary. However, again, once season 2 ends, I still have to figure out how many episodes there are going to be. Right now, I just finished the second episode in terms of video length. But definitely after season 2, we'll get the commentaries underway. It's probably going to be next year.
Alright, so the plan now is that it's going to be 3 seasons?
Oh, no. Season 2 is on a break, or summer vacation. So this way it gives everyone...
Oh, okay, so season 2.5 is going to be when we start up again.
Yep, because, again, I know it's been kind of hectic trying to get everyone's lines. Either no one's been in the mood, or they've been busy. It's not your fault, stuff happens. But summer vacation's coming up, and it'll give everyone kind of, alright, we haven't done the fandom in a while. Maybe it'll give you guys a little bit more motivation or energy to do it, because breaks are always a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I won't be getting a break.
I'm sorry. I wish I could help more on it, I really do.
Well, when you want to start developing plans for the AI Tournament 8 logo, let me know, because we still have to work on that big time.
Yeah, I know. I've got the summer to work on it, so...
And, I still haven't...
I gotta do what I can.
Oh, sorry. I was gonna say, I still haven't figured out what type of trophy-ish thing I want to use, because I'm still kind of out in the open. If you want to kind of help us, Nitro, you're welcome to. Don't know what type of feedback you can give to us.
Well, I have a trophy full of Steak'ems, and I also have an iron cup full of Brunswick stew.
I don't know if food's going to help, but...
Those may come in handy, but...
It's from Homestar Runner.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I watched Homestar Runner.
Sorry.
I don't know things enough.
Yeah, I haven't really...
I'm sorry!
I haven't really asked or offered to do anything for the AI tournament stuff, because I don't know what caliber of things you're looking for. Starchild kind of set the bar pretty darn high.
Well... I asked him if he wanted to help in the next one, he kindly turned it down, and I understand. But, I'm going to be kind of doing most of the work, but trying to get the logo, aka banner, underway would be a great start. Because you still have the pictures I sent you, Rictesium?
I'm not sure.
Okay, good, then I'll...
To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure if I have them.
Well, they should be in the history, because I sent you the links of what the characters look like. So this way we can kind of figure out what type of poses and positions they should do. But, yeah.
Sorry to let you down.
Alrighty.
So, yeah, I think that is about all we were going to talk about for this episode of the podcast. Hopefully, we'll be able to get to a more regular recording schedule, I guess you could say. Probably in another couple weeks or so. So, I hope everyone who listened to this, however many of you may have actually listened to this, enjoyed what you heard. And if you want to listen to more, you can go to nitrokazam.com to find the last 3 episodes we recorded. I'm going to try to get around to adding the rest up to the Podomatic account. Currently, only the first episode is up on there. And also, I wanted to say before we all go that this is just, just a podcast between some friends about whatever comes to mind, but even if we do call it the Amateur Voice Acting Podcast, we do our own amateur voice acting. GalRedX has the Xenogears dubbed going on at his YouTube account. Nitrixom has been doing his own animation, and I have been just been working on different things for other people recently, so you can find all of our YouTube's accounts with our screen names after YouTube.com, and also I'd like to say the intro was created by Roroni Starchild, and the editing is done by Nitro here, who also quite literally pays for the podcast, because he pays money to get this whole call together and then host it on his website as well. So I want to thank everyone who's involved with this, especially since I feel like I don't do as much as everyone else could, or everyone else does. So thank you all very much, and I also want to thank the people listening. So you guys have any last words?
Nope, I'm set, I'm good.
I think it's about time we call it a day, boys.
Alright, everyone listening, take care and hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Have a good day, everyone.
Yep, see you again.
Bye.